he's not really Christmas card material, is he? You know, John the Baptist, you know, what would be the Christmas card that John the Baptist would send? On the front, it'll be pretty with a wreath, and it would say, like, Merry Christmas. And you open it up, and it says, Repent, you brood of vipers! Fa-la-la-la-la. John the Baptist doesn't really strike me as, like, Christmas material. And yet, it makes total sense that we would focus so much on him because he was pointing to Christ.
This is Season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
And now I would invite you to take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, turning them with me to the book of John. It's John chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8, and then we'll skip down to verses 19 through 28. As we continue our Advent season, it's the third Sunday in Advent. We have been preparing for the coming of our Lord. In the first week, we talked about waiting and watching, what it is to keep awake. And then last week, we talked about preparing the way, how John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord, and he preached a preparation of repentance. We said we need to repent of our sins, we need to humble ourselves, and we need to receive the Holy Spirit, and by that we would prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. This week we're going to look at what it means to testify to what God has done in Jesus Christ, and why it's the duty of every believer to bear a testimony to the things that God has done. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. This is the book of John, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And now verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Betharaba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. O God, our heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we pray, Lord, that your word would illumine us, light the way for us, and show us the way, that we may walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of the message this week is Testify. Testify. And the word testify, is it's a legal term. for a witness to some event, someone who saw something happen. We call them to the witness stand. We ask them to testify, to give a testimony of what they have seen, what they have heard. As Christians, we are also called upon to give our testimony. As I was preparing the message this week, I was thinking about how we as Christians can testify. Sometimes we feel like we have to embellish our own stories to make God greater than he actually is. But it's a practice in futility, because God is already great and doesn't need us to make him greater. We can't. He is infinitely great. And so we don't need to make things up to make him look better than we think he is. What we need to do is to understand that our stories are already great enough. I was thinking about this story, this TV show that used to be on. You may have heard of it. It was called To Tell the Truth. Do you remember this story, this TV show? You know, originally in the very beginning, I recently found the pilot episode. God, I love the internet, you know. I found the pilot episode of To Tell the Truth. It was aired in 1956, and it wasn't even called To Tell the Truth. It was called Nothing But the Truth. Terrible name. They changed it, right? And gladly they did, because To Tell the Truth is a much better name, right? But in this pilot episode, it was funny. They had a panel of four celebrity judges, right? Three of which I'd never heard of. I guess they were probably famous back then. You might know them. I don't know them. The fourth one, though, I did recognize. It was Dick Van Dyke, okay? And they took this thing very seriously. They were asking these very serious questions. You'd think with Dick Van Dyke, they'd be kind of funny, but it wasn't. It was very serious. And the moderator was another guy you might have heard of, Mike Wallace. The very young Mike Wallace. And so the very first one that they had these three people come up, and they all said that their name was Tony Colletti. The interesting thing was, there were two women and one man, and they all claimed to be Tony Colletti. And they were a truant officer, so their job was to catch kids who were skipping school, right? And that they had sang with Frank Sinatra, and also that they were a painter. Okay, so the person who claimed to be Tony Colletti was a truant officer and a painter, and had at one time sang with Frank Sinatra. So then the panel, they asked these people all these questions. Now, two of the people are not telling the truth, right? But they're trying to convince the judges that they are the true person. Maybe the one person who is telling the truth is kind of hoping that the judges don't pick them. If you can fool the judges into thinking that you are not who you say you are, or thinking that you are who you say you are, but you're not, you know, you win money, right? So ultimately, it was actually the guy who was the real Tony Colletti, who was a truant officer. And he had sang with Frank Sinatra, but in church in Hackensack. So it wasn't like he sang with him professionally, right? And also, he was a painter. Dick Van Dyke, it was very interesting, asked him a series of questions about what kind of painting he did. He's, what do you use to paint? Or what is the medium that you use? And he said, paint, you know? And come to find out, he's actually not an art painter. He was a house painter, you know? Yeah, so it was interesting. But anyway, so the whole premise of this, To Tell the Truth, is one person is telling the truth about who they are. But what I found interesting was, John is asked questions, a series of questions, by these people. They come to him. They were sent from the Jews. It says, the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou? Who art thou?" Now, when I was preparing this message, by the way, for those of you who were here last week, and I think most of you were, you know that we talked about John the Baptist last week, right? And I was thinking to myself, why are we doing 2 weeks in a row on John the Baptist? And it's almost the same story. It's a very similar story in the two Gospels, in Mark's Gospel and Matthew's and John's Gospel. Why are we spending all this time on John the Baptist, right? You know, honestly, he's not really Christmas card material, is he? You know, John the Baptist, you know, what would be the Christmas card that John the Baptist would send? On the front, it'll be pretty with a wreath, and it would say, like, "Merry Christmas." And you open it up, and it says, "Repent, you brood of vipers!" You know? Fa-la-la-la-la. You know, but, I mean, it's John the Baptist doesn't really strike me as, like, Christmas material, right? And yet, it makes total sense that John the Baptist would be, we would focus so much on him because he was pointing to Christ. Everything that John did was not to bring attention to himself. He had a lot of attention. He had gotten the attention of the Jews in Jerusalem, but he wasn't about getting attention. He was about giving attention to the one who was to come, giving attention to God, pointing people away from him to Christ, to the one who was to come. When we read that the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem, we ask ourselves, well, what Jews? It wasn't like all the Jews in Jerusalem got together and said, "Hey, let's send somebody down to talk to John and find out what's his deal." But they were speaking specifically of, usually when the Gospels talk of the Jews, it's usually speaking of one of two sects. It's either the Pharisees or the Sadducees, because they were the ones who were so bent out of shape about Jesus' ministry. And in fact, in verse 24 we read, "They which were sent were of the Pharisees." So it was the Pharisees who had sent the Levites and the priests, the holy men, to ask John, "Who are you? Who are you?" Kind of a funny question, and that's why it made me think of that show, To Tell the Truth. Who are you really, John? Tell us the truth. Who are you? Now, he knew exactly what they were asking, and he answered them, "I am not the Christ." I am not the Christ. They were wondering, are you the one that the prophets have all promised? But he said, "I am not. I am not." See, John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. The very last of the Old Testament prophets, because he was born for the purpose of heralding the immediate coming of the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, we read how the angel Gabriel told Zechariah, John's father. He said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Now, why was he saying that he would go in the spirit of Elijah? Because in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." So here were these Jews, and they were asking him, "Who are you?" And the first thing he said was, "Well, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. See, he wasn't there trying to pretend to be something that he was not. But he was there to testify to the one who was to come. And so he said, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? Are you Elijah? They asked him point blank, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Now that's kind of strange that he would say that he's not Elijah, since Gabriel just said that he would come in the spirit of Elijah, but that's the truth. The truth is he's not Elijah himself. He comes in the spirit of Elijah. And in fact, when we read Malachi's prophecy, that's really what Malachi was saying. Not that God would send Elijah himself, like he would raise Elijah from the dead and send him personally, but that he would send someone in the spirit of Elijah. And so he said, are you that prophet? And he said, no. What prophet are they talking about? The prophet is from Deuteronomy, chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, Moses speaking to the people, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. I will raise up for them a prophet like you. This is God speaking to Moses. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. That's the role of a prophet. The role of the prophet is to speak faithfully the words that God gives him to speak. Many prophets bore the message of God. Now, think about what a messenger is. When a messenger brings a message to someone very important, what is the messenger really hoping for? They're hoping it's good news, right? Because if it's bad news, right? Nothing good ever happens to a messenger who brings bad news. Okay? Usually ends very badly for the messenger. And in fact, many of God's prophets came and brought bad news to the people. They were in sin. They were turning away from God. They had been straying from God, and God was getting ready to punish them. And so what happened to those prophets? They were stoned. They were persecuted. They were thrown into the pit. Isaiah the prophet, tradition tells us, was sawn in half. Ugh, right? Not a really great career choice to go and be a prophet, but it's what God calls people to do. People who are faithful, people who will proclaim the truth in his name. And this is what John is doing. They asked him, who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. So in Isaiah, he said, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. We read this last week in Isaiah 40. Make straight a desert. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is who John was. This is who he came to be. He came to be the voice of the in the wilderness, crying out, prepare the way for the Lord. And that's what he was doing. He was preparing a way for the Lord. Then they said, well, if you're not the Christ, if you're not the prophet, if you're not Elijah, then why are you baptizing here in the Jordan River and not in Jerusalem where everybody else gets baptized with the clean water? But you bring people down to this muddy old Jordan River and you're not even in Jerusalem. You're not at the temple. Why are you baptizing out here in the wilderness? Who gave you the authority? That's basically what they were asking him. By whose authority are you baptizing if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, if you're not the Christ? Then on whose authority are you baptizing? John says this, I baptize with water. It's a remarkable statement. He's basically saying, you know, what I'm doing here is really ordinary. You guys are making a big deal about it, but it's just water. That's all it is. Remember in Mark's gospel, John said, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Baptizing with water is just an ordinary act, but God is the one who puts the Holy Spirit in us, baptizes us with the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. John baptizes with water. It's an ordinary act. And then he says, very similar to what he said in Mark, there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. See, humility is also the mark of a prophet of God. He carries the message of God to the people. He humbles himself. He says, I'm not worthy to untie his shoe. He says, he who is coming after me is greater than me because he was before me. Now that doesn't make any sense, right? Except that, think about this. What we read in Luke's gospel is that John was born first. He was born about 6 months before Jesus. He was conceived by Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the cousin, by the way, of Mary. And so John and Jesus were related, but John was born first. But he who comes after me, he said, is greater than me because he was before me. And we read in the beginning of John's gospel, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You see, Jesus is co-eternal with God the Father. He is the uncreated one. He is begotten, not made. He's not one of God's creations. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Son, God the Son. But he is eternal. He has existed since the beginning with God. So he, even though he was born after John, he came before John, and he's greater. Everything that John did pointed to Christ. And as Christians, we are also messengers. Think about it. Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. He said to proclaim the gospel everywhere. Like John the Baptist, we are called to testify to who Christ is, to point to his light, to say that we're not the light, but he is. This is what the world does to us. They want to put us on the witness stand. They want to grill us about who we are when they should be asking who Jesus is. So then what is our testimony? Think for a moment about what Christ has done in your life. Who are you? Who has God made you to be? How are you different from the person that you were before Christ entered into your life? It's not about who we are today. Yeah, I was a punk rocker. I wrote and I sang angry songs full of language I can't repeat in church. And God saw fit to use even me to testify to him. And if God can use someone like me, he could certainly use someone like you. What is your testimony? This Advent season, how will you testify to the greatness of Christ? Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have a testimony. We have a story to tell that Jesus has acted in our lives, has done great things for us and in us and through us, that we are not the light, but that he is the light. And we pray, Lord, that everything that we do this holiday season would be to point to you, to direct people away from us and toward your light, toward the light of Christ in the world, because He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And you sent your Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to take our sins to the cross, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Let this good news be ever on our lips and on our hearts this Advent season, this Christmas season. As we gather together with friends and family, let our testimony roll off our lips like so much music into the world. We have a testimony. Let our lives testify to the greatness of Christ. And we pray this in His mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now during the COVID-19 crisis, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we'd be happy for you to join us wherever you are. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.